What's up, guys? It's Kenyo here.
And Danielle.
And this is a hashtag goals episode. We're interviewing Amina Deshay. I only get better, I only make moves. And I'm a dipped owl, but I never quite lose. If we head south, never down with the blues. I'm too bright for welcome, that. Welcome to hashtag goals. This is hashtag goals, the podcast. This is Kenyo. Danielle's
here. Wait, what's hashtag goals?
Hashtag goals for millennials podcast. They millennials, they want to do a bunch of stuff, and we're just like
making we're helping them.
We're helping them by making a podcast.
So it's a fire-ass podcast. Exactly.
Woo! I feel like there should have been applause there.
Yeah. we can put applause there, maybe. We'll see if we have it in the editing budget.
Yeah. But, for the super fire studio we're in.
Yeah, we're in a secret studio, North San Antonio. Anyway, let's get into
it. Secret about our studio's hat.
Yeah.
We'll reveal it season finale. Yeah.
We drop lots of hints for the people, but we can't let you know where we are.
There's ducks outside.
Yeah, and Daniel has a massive fan base of Instagram stalkers.
Okay.
So let's jump straight into introducing our guest for this episode. We have the wonderful poet and educator and entrepreneur.
An artist.
Amina Deshay. What's up, Amina?
What's up?
How is it going?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to balance my day, even though it just started. I got some pretty awful news this morning, and so I'm trying to maintain positivity. Man. And not kind of get
bogged down.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can sending some positive energy.
Positive vibes.
Yeah.
It is kind of early for all of us, I think, which is a little weird. I mean, you wake up really early because you teach right now.
On the weekends, I'm trying to sleep. trying to sleep.
I mean, it was but you like, said you're coming from the gym, so you're
I was up early. I might as well. Got up, went to the gym, kind of get my day started.
Yeah. So you're still balancing it in the midst of everything else?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's a constant theme in life as like an art? Because you do so many many things, right?
Yeah.
So there's always, I feel like the faster I move and stuff, like the less time I have to actually balance. Because I used to have a lot of time to go back and be like, oh, this is what happened over like the last week, the last couple of days. But now like as like different things pick up, I realize like there's a whole like year and a half where I haven't analyzed my thoughts, like I just need to like sit down probably somewhere for a couple weeks and really see what happened in my life. How do I feel about these things?
It's like usually like December 31st. I'm like, dang,
about
that happened.
And I'm getting more okay with that. How do you feel about it?
I've spent a lot of my time in survival mode, is what I would call that. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of going and you're living and you're engage in these tasks where you're not necessarily analyzing what's happening. So I am in a place where I am beginning to slow down and reflect on what I've experienced, what I've been through, the choices that I've made, and how that manifested itself. Mm-hmm. So I am slowing down a little bit.
Yeah. So a lot of people may not know who you are. You may be super popular, you know, a secret, you know, fan page. But tell us a little bit about yourself, like what you do, an overview of like what you do.
Well, first, my day job, I'm a teacher. I teach art at the middle school level here in San Antonio. Has 6th, 7th, and 8th graders.
So
it's really tough.
Are they just like dabbing all the time in your class and
I wish that's all the problem was.
What's your biggest problem in the classroom right now?
Noise level.
Oh, really?
Like, these kids do not know how to speak like you're sitting next to somebody. Mm-hmm. It's always they're across the street or down the hall and they're like yelling all the time.
Like, miss, somebody drop the paint. Like,
just loud. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you do, any procedures you try to put in place or whatever, you have to go off on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they want you to.
Oh, no. I used to work at the Boys and Girls Club for like years. And like, I was just like, came in there like a drill sergeant.
Yeah.
Like, don't play with me. And I used to do sneaky stuff too. This one time, this boy, like, I had longer hair, right? Mm-hmm. He was like, that ain't your hair, blah, 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 blah. So he just like made a comment in passing. And like, I can't discipline him for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would just watch this kid. And, like, they would get in trouble if they left, like, the room that they're supposed to be in. Mm. And so, like, kept doing it. Girl, I went and wrote like an essay, wrote him up, got Dang. Him like, he could have come back for 3 days. His grandma came up there. He was like, you know, like that face your mom gives you when you know you're about to get a whooping.
Mm-hmm.
His grandma was about to drag him. So wow. I was just like, oh, don't talk about my hair anymore.
Oh, got him. Yeah. So that's what I do during the days, teaching art, visual arts. And by night, I'm entrepreneur, mm-hmm. Poet. I got my first head into art by writing poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me. I'm out here surviving like everybody else. And I just found a way to kind of put my experience in a creative force.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you kind of like balance yourself mm-hmm. is through, you know, doing art and doing poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So what style would you say your poetry is?
I'm not certain. I know I started doing poetry in competition slam style.
Okay.
So that's where I get a lot of my intensity from, mm-hmm. is from the gate. And I was competing against adults. I was mm-hmm. the only youth poet in the city at the time. Mm-hmm. And there was only adults for me to compete against.
Yeah.
So I kind of started that way. And I favor storytelling
mm-hmm.
over any other form of poetry, I guess you would say. So... Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if there's a particular style
yeah.
or if somebody would tell me, oh, you remind me of this or you sound like that, then I would be open-minded to that. But yeah. otherwise, I wouldn't say I'm any particular style.
Yeah, super awesome.
Mm.
I know Amina because we worked together on some projects. Just to give people an overview of some of her projects that you didn't touch on in your explanation of yourself. She did Social Solstice last year, which was at, what was the name of that?
Studio 111
mm-hmm. in the Lone Star Arts District out here in San Antonio. And then you did at the McNay Museum, which is probably my favorite museum in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Van Goghs on Decky. So, but you did... what was that event called? Second Verse at the McNay, which was really cool. Basically, the McNay was having, We Like Black People Day month.
We Like Black People.
check.
No. McNay is a great museum, but they were having...
Black quota for them.
Yeah.
All the black
was it in February?
It was not.
Oh, it wasn't.
Good for them.
I don't think it was in February, which was great.
Yeah. So, but it was definitely an appreciation of that aspect of culture. And it was basically like a walk through poetry tour around different art pieces and had really, really, really great poets. Some of the best that I've seen in San Antonio. So that was really cool. You put together those events. And I know you also have your hands, you're dabbling also in the Southern Fried Slam. Mm-hmm. That came out here, and you do a lot of those kinds of things. What do you feel like you're kind of like pulling out of culture when you get involved in these kinds of things? Like, what is it that you feel like your effect is on? What does Amina Deshaies do to the world when she gets involved in events?
Wow. I feel maybe this unique eye and approach to certain things. So... You'll have your merchandising and like Southern Fried. That was a huge collaborative effort with a lot of the poets in the city. And what I brought was a youthful eye, but wise and mature on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this quiet maturity about myself, and it causes the people that I'm working with to think of things from a different perspective. I make people kind of slow down, and I really focus on details and how we're presenting something, because I feel like that matters sometimes more than the product itself is how it's being presented.
Mm-hmm.
So I make people think about the package and how it looks and how to get the youth involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the times we make these events, but we're only focused on a particular demographic.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge advocate for young people. So I'm always looking for a way to make an event that is encouraging the youth to come out and participate in it as well. So that's something that I offer. Not a lot of people, unless it's like this event that's specifically for the youth,
mm-hmm.
something, I'd like to see a crossover
yeah.
in getting everybody
together.
We were
talking about that also, that it would be good to get events that have more like impact
mm-hmm.
on the community, just not just like, even like our, the stand-ups, or what was it called? The SAT upfronts.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even that, like, we could have had some younger people there, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it is important to get the youth in San Antonio or all over the world involved, because we have, you know, lots of stories to tell, mm-hmm. lots of advice to give. And talk, like, hitting on that, this podcast is about, like, millennials, but mm-hmm. also I'm sure young kids will watch it too. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen to it too. So what life advice would you give to, like, a 20-something right now?
Find a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Find a mentor. And the number one thing that I didn't realize at that age is what you sow into your life at that time will manifest itself and will determine the next 10, 20 years of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So be goal oriented towards the future and what that's going to be like. Slow down, reflect. Like I was saying earlier, I was just living
mm-hmm.
and trying to survive my environment
mm-hmm.
and not really thinking about how that was going to run my body down or my mental health and things like that in the future. And I'm recovering from that now.
Mm-hmm.
So get a mentor, really focus on your mental health and be involved in activities or whatever the case may be for that individual that will produce fruit later
yeah.
in the future.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Great answer.
Right. Going back to the youth a little bit, I think that's super fascinating. Why is it that you think that, like, more companies don't involve the youth? Because I know that's just a huge part of what you're doing and what you're trying to bring out. And I actually think I had this thing where I was like, I really think that there's a certain kind of art, like the really, there's like a certain visceral element of it that I really think peaks out like between the ages of like 12 to like 23 or something like that. And then I think there's a certain like maturity that you can bring to art after that. Like now in my poetry, for example, I'm focusing on like, I'm still actually just writing right now because I don't want my skills to rest. But the next phase that I want to go into over the course of, honestly, and I feel blessed to be in poetry because it's like, you know, like with a rapper, I mean, you can push it to 50, but it's starting to get a little weird, you know, like musicians.
Well, see, Eminem is having some issues.
Yeah.
Like coming for his neck.
Midlife then, crisis rap.
Right.
You just like start wearing hats and jumpsuits. I'm like, Eminem, really?
Might
you couldn't
well.
Get suited and booted for this way interview? Like, wow.
Oh, might man. As well have cornrows.
Right. But I feel like poets are blessed amongst artists and anyone in that like kind of genre. That and actors, I guess, can too. But anyway, poets are really blessed.
Actors
like
can.
You really kind of just like kill it, like in the later years. Really, like there's really nothing stopping you from like killing it, like at 80. Like I'm excited for the poems that I write when I'm 80. Like, oh, by the time I have that level of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pack some stuff into that. So I think that's cool, and that's what you can focus on once you get older. But I really do think that like a lot of art, like the younger age, like we should. They're kind of, in a lot of ways, better at making what I would consider, like, media and stuff like that. They do it really intuitively. I see kids when they're, like, playing on iPads or the stuff that they watch on YouTube, they'll watch, like, these weird little things that, I don't know, that are just, like, regularly, like, very entertaining to them.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel like you're going about really empowering the youth to create?
She's a teacher, so.
Yeah, yeah. But I know you have a goal of it,
yes,
right? You're in a stage
I definitely have a goal for it. My passion for that, because I think you asked that earlier, like what kind of drives me for that. My passion for it is where I was as a young person
mm-hmm.
and how I was drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And if it had not been for the opportunities that I had to express myself,
mm-hmm.
then I don't feel like I would be anywhere near where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the adults in my environment kind of paving a way for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have been like, oh, you're too young. Like I was literally being snuck into venues to
yeah.
perform and things like that. And they could have been like, oh, we're not going to do this. You're too young, this
mm-hmm.
and that, the other. And that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
And so it led to a talent that I have that I could spread towards other people. So I feel that it's part of my duty to do the same for other young people. And in school, like I said, I do visual arts, and I don't just teach the visual arts. I really incorporate poetry into it and teach students how to put a narrative into their artwork. So I allow my students to be honest and to talk about things that they may feel they can't.
Yeah.
So if I have a student who may be involved in drugs and they need to get that out, if their artwork reflects that, I'm like, oh, you can't do that. It's not school appropriate. You know, I can't necessarily hang it up, but I can allow them to express that. Yeah. And that creates a door for us to speak on it. And once the student begins to trust that, that relationship, then you can begin to influence.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's one way. And then through Social Solstice, I have a youth outreach where I've developed a grant that will actually plug some young people towards you, Kenya. So the project Sweet. Forward with that grant, then young people who are entrepreneurs, who want to develop media, things like that. Now I'm not necessarily a media wizard, but Kenyo is. So I can direct them towards Kenyo with a membership.
That's super perfect. Because we were, can we talk about it?
Yeah, well, there's no secrets.
Oh, yeah. Like, we're...
except for our location.
There's some secrets.
Yeah, except for our location. Yeah, that's
secret. Some gangsters out there.
We were, like, talking about... Because, like, I, like, really like working with kids. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about opening up Project for Kids.
Mm-hmm.
So just, like, kind of honing in on that, like, cross-section. Mm-hmm. I said cross-section, like, I'm dissecting them. Cross-section of, you know, society.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Project Forward, I think... it's better to have like a section just for the kids, you know, and they can be doing the same things that his members do, but like have somebody there that's almost like a mentor and like putting in the right rooms, the right situations if they're in the media and helping them like create their own media.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we want these kids to like be directing their own movies and you know, producing and acting and doing whatever they want to do or poetry.
I think that's important
because
a lot of young people, they think, oh, I gotta wait until I'm this and that, you know, and it's like, you can do it now if the resources are there, if the support is there.
Yeah.
You could direct your own movies, you could write your own books, you don't have to wait.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a level of honesty with the youth also that kind of gets, what's the word for it? By the time you get to a certain age, you are kind of conditioned to subdue yourself in a way. So I like the level of honesty. And with the media, if kids have the mentor to use the media for something positive rather than negatively, you know, then I think that would be beneficial for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think especially too, you know, getting into some of those spaces with the kids, because I see, you know, like, I think one weird aspect about social media is it's like giving kids, I mean, when I was young, we would go and play and like hang out by ourselves, you know, but there was always like an adult somewhere, you know, like you're inside of a community. So unless you like, I don't know, someone has a car and you like drive out to the beach or something like that. But either way, like there's some kind of connection to the community. But with social media, especially websites like Tumblr, you know, like you just have these vast, like locked in spaces where it's just like the kids and themselves and this kind of Lord of the Flies-esque like thing where they're just by themselves. And I think that can be really weird. But if you can have like, if we can work with them so that they can speak to each other, and then like, you don't have to like almost censor them or anything, but just to be like around them so that they don't have, because they do need some sort of
supervision,
guidance, infrastructure, you know, like just someone near them to create some sort of balance, because there can be a lot of, they like it because there's a lot of freedom there, and I think maintaining that is really cool, but there can also be a lot of darkness there because there's a lot of problems that they'll bring up and then you just don't have any solutions. So it just becomes this weird, like, dwelling on, like, darkness.
And they just, like, feed off of it like that. Like, well, I never was in the Tumblr. Kenya was a sad Tumblr boy, but I was more of, like, MySpace. Top 10 friends.
But Tumblr was after. I was on MySpace. Trust me. I had my...
I was on there popping. I was MySpace. The princess.
I was coding on MySpace.
Oh, my gosh. I thought I was, like, for real. Yeah. Like, I was like, damn, I'm doing these codes. Like, I really thought I was doing... So I was like, really, I'm just copying and pasting. And my name was, like, something really, like, crazy. Like, the princess of the South. Like, just... crazy.
MySpace was fire. I feel like we don't go into how cool. I feel like actually, like, for, like, equality of distribution, MySpace was better than Facebook because it was just so easy to get on there. And if you were a musician, to get, like, listens and, like, to put your videos up there and, like, have people watch them.
That's when you can actually speak to Drake.
Right? And you can jump in. You could jump in groups. I just felt like it was a lot of fun. I loved MySpace. I got into, like, writing music reviews on MySpace. Like, that was one of my earliest blogs. I had this thing called the Musec Review, M-U-S-E-C.
Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to laugh. Kenyo has all these weird things. Like, last podcast that we had, you probably listened to this. I think Amias will be the first one that you'll listen to, but we had Justin Bustamante on there, and Kenyo said that he was in a band called, what was it called?
Oh, Them Poets.
You was like,
oh my God. That was my last band before I moved to San Antonio, like, Dem 6 years ago.
Them Poets.
Yo, we're out there. Check us out. Thempoets.bandcamp.com.
Please stop.
Get on YouTube. Search
please
for Them Poets.
Do not search for this.
Oh, my gosh.
Please don't do it.
There's a couple YouTube videos of us performing in some tiny cafe, so... Kill
every
me.
Episode you're screaming, you know, like,
I did do a lot of stuff. Like, I had a website called Cujo.com, which was Culture Journey.
I will
abbreviate.
Stay.
Oh man, but yeah, I think, and a lot of that was empowered. Like, all my website was empowered by this. There was this really interesting program. So I lived in we were in Northern California until I was like 15 or something like that. Or no, 12? Yeah, 12, 13. And in Marin City, which that was close to, like, Tam High. That was, like, where Tupac went to high school and stuff like that. It wasn't that close. But anyway, I just wanted to drop that.
He just wanted to drop the name. Like, yo,
cool. I kind of did.
Yeah, he was like, just let me just name drop real quick. Tupac went to high school.
Around there. about 25 miles away. But in Marin City, there was this program where they would, like, give you, they taught you how to do, like, HTML and, like Photoshop and stuff like that. And they would give you $50 for every completed project, something like that, for the kids. I don't know how it was funded. But that was pretty cool because that got me into websites. That's where I learned how to do HTML and stuff like that. And so ever since then, like, I just started doing websites. I got Dreamweaver at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I was out here busting websites out. And so I think it's kind of cool to be able to do that for kids. And it kind of let me at a very young age, like, decide that I didn't, like, I could, like, just have, like, a certain kind of voice, like, and I could be really detailed with it in my own form of publishing, you know, and, like, mm-hmm. and just having all of that, like, starting publishing that early and just being really into websites for that whole time and image editing and then a little bit later on video editing. I feel like that's such a huge tool to be able to have, and I think it gave me a lot of, I probably would have been confident either way, but it gave me a lot of a certain kind of confidence.
By the way, where are you from? Snoop Dogg's high school. Because, I mean, everybody's curious now. All the California rappers, how far away were they?
You know, I did spend some time.
No.
In the OC.
Them Poets opened up for Snoop. Hey, if Them Poets are listening, the rest of the band, let's get it back together, guys.
I've tried
reunion
several times.
Tour. Reunion
I've tried,
tour.
I sent out that text. I did a group text like a year ago. And I was like, guys,
responded.
We're putting it back together. They're like,
just
nah.
Back
together,
like, they flame you like, what?
I try to do it all the time. They don't want to do it. The guitarist is down, but the rapper.
I was going to say he was
the
dead.
Guitarist is always down.
Yeah, it's right? He's down. But anyway, it's coming back.
Just replace him.
No sleep. No sleep on Them Poets.
Goals.
Anyway, okay, Amina, what's something cool that you got coming up? I know, but I'll let you explain it.
What you say? Like,
I know.
Okay, I know, but y'all don't know.
Oh,
yet.
I also wanted to hear, like, any crazy stories of you performing in clubs as, like, a kid.
Oh yeah,
that'd
as
be cool.
A kid, have any super crazy. Well, yeah. there was a time where we went out of town to perform because we had a slam team and we were practicing and things. And someone didn't realize that I was part of the slam team. I had lost position with the youth slam team, and then I tried out for the adult team and made it.
Yeah,
it's pretty weird. Yeah. So. This person was giving us such a hard time. Mm. You can't be in here. Mm. I was like, actually, man, I'm a poet. Mm. I'm performing. I'm like 17, 16, 17. Yeah. And they're looking, and I looked 12 at that time. So I'm like, no, there's no way. So there was this whole issue, like this biggest scene that the owner of the club, and they were like, man, we told you we had an underage person coming and that they would be performing. And they were, and then so they made like a line tape, and I had to
people are so extra.
I had to stay in a particular area. Once we were done performing, I couldn't move. Like, I mean, that's the crazy. I mean, there was no bottles swung or nothing like that, but
that was just like, that's crazy. Like, scoot up some red wine over the table and be like, what y'all do about it?
That's the biggest thing. But for the most part, everybody was supportive. So,
and you're a poet, so I know that Kenyo has some fans, some fangirls. Do you have like any like weird like DMs that you get, or people who are just like super like every time you post something, they're just like,
I don't.
I mean, no, you probably.
And I'm thankful.
I mean, you're thankful. You don't like. You don't want the weird DMs. Yeah.
I don't get the crazy DMs. For the most part,
you said not yet.
Not yet. Some there's always like every once in a while, if I'm meeting somebody or we're at a venue, and somebody seems like starstruck.
Mm-hmm.
And they're super nervous or something like that. I'm like, just chill, you know. Yeah. Right. You know, it's cool. It's can you read my poem? Can you tell me about? And I'm like, sure. And it's weird because I'm like, I'm not that awesome, but you know, yeah, I guess.
You are. Definitely.
Thank you.
That's why you're going to be the first episode. Yeah.
I think I didn't even tell the story of how I met Amina because. Yeah, I started reading poems of, like, on stage like a little bit before I came to San Antonio. But then San Antonio, for those who do not know, has probably one of the most epic poetry scenes in the country. So probably the world. Because the U.S. is so big, but I'm going to say the country. I'm not overstep my... Anyway, so I got into reading more on stage here when I got into...
It's one of his fangirls.
Super Faux Pas. That's...
That's the studio production guy's phone.
Yeah, like, exactly. He's off. Fired, though, he's so fired. That's never going to happen again.
You're doing a great job.
But I still have it on the generic Android ringtone. But so what happened? Yeah, so I was getting on stage and then I jumped into a slam. I've only done one slam competition, or like maybe two in San Antonio. And I got down and Amina defeated me. So actually, she defeated everyone. So I shouldn't act like I didn't make it past. The second round. So lots of people defeated me, really. But that was my introduction to her poetry. And she killed it. And I listened to, I like a certain type of poetry, you know, like I really like stuff that I would read, you know, so it's like a certain balance of articulation, and like not spoken articulation, but like in writing it, and then vocabulary and your stuff is like stuff that I could, that I really, not that I'm not shading any other poets, I'm just saying of the poets in the city, I've always known that there's like yours and then... Actually, I don't know. I think you're my favorite spoken word poet in the entire city.
Thank you.
Yeah,
like, you're my favorite, you're too. I don't really talented. Know a whole lot Thank of you. Them, so you're my favorite.
Thank you.
Thank Have you heard her poetry?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like you're lying.
Yeah. It's so rude. I just met Amina, okay? So I didn't want to be like, and I'm the one who asked her to come on the show. I was gonna lie and then tell her later. Okay? That was super not fair. Like, yeah. I just met Amina like two, three weeks ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, so I will listen to it now. Thanks, Kenya, for
you're welcome.
For
AminaJose.com. So what do you got coming up?
Social Solstice is around the corner.
Ooh.
So this will be our third event. Andrea Vocab Sanderson and I produce this show. It is a mixture of visual artists and spoken word musical artists. And it's an art happening that we put together. It's one day event, so the artwork comes down that mm-hmm. night. So if you missed it, you freaking missed it.
Yeah.
It's a great event that we kind of collaborated to create. And it's really super fun. We have a lot of artists that I think are underrated who will be there. Some visual works. And what I like most about it is you get to talk about the artwork and the artists are there. So a lot of the times you go to a museum, you see some artwork and it's like, oh, great. You read the little caption and you keep it moving. but I really feel like there are a lot of skills in the critique of art.
Yeah.
And having the artist there to explain their work and tell you what their intentions were and introduce you to them, it's phenomenal to me. And I feel like that kind of discourse elevates society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we'll have those visual arts giveaways, always some raffles going on. And this will be our first event where we will actually be giving out a grant.
Oh, really?
Yes. So we will be giving out a grant this time to a young man. I've taken applications already for it.
Okay.
And the selection has been made.
Ooh.
So
nice.
Yes.
Hear that? And that's through your brand. Mm-hmm. Progress Studios.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say company because I know the legal structure of it.
It's not necessarily a company.
Right, exactly. Amina is if you get a chance to sit down with her, do it. So she can educate you on some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about what you do and how it relates to art in general, I think art is the perfect place to do it in because I really think that art is... it's a very important cultural tool, and the space that we make for it becomes very influential, and a lot of media is derived from it in ways that I think we don't really understand, and then so culture kind of follows that too. So the conversations that we have around art or the conversations that art inspire us to create are very, very important, and the way that we consume art is very, very important. And I think when you see like a lack of... just because of like industrialization and then commercialization where we are right now, when you see a lack of like original pieces
mm-hmm.
and the market for that and the canonization of that being more decentralized, when you see a lack of that, I think it leads to a certain shallowness in media in general or a lack of diversity. And so I think where we're shifting now, where I think people are actually getting a little bit more comfortable financially, a larger number of people, I think we have a little bit more space, and even if we don't have like tons and tons of money, I think we have more space to really create some powerful stuff around the ownership, the discussions,
mm-hmm.
the curation of art. And I'm actually planning on dabbling a lot more heavily in that too, so I'm super excited for Progress Studios and finding different ways to wiggle my toes in the water of your creation.
Oh, well, it can be taken a lot of different ways. So I hope you took it the right way. Because I would have been a little freaked out.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah. That was unnecessary. That was poet to poet right there. That's what that was.
That's why I was just like, no.
Extreme details and visualization there.
Right. Okay. So, Amina, where can people find you at?
People can find me at aminadeche.com. AminaDeche.com. Also on Instagram, mm-hmm. on the Instagram. under Progress Studios, that's one S in Progress. P-R-O-G. How you spell Progress? P-R-O-G-E-S.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a visual person.
I know, so I'm like, I gotta write it down. E-S.
Yeah,
y'all know how to spell Studios. Progress.
Skip yes. the R, but you guys can figure it out.
Progress Studios, one S.
You didn't say that, did you? You didn't know how to spell it?
I Yeah. I'm used to this. You should
have to write it down.
When Danielle goes next, we'll see if she gets her Instagram tag correctly. I don't think one time in the history of this show she said
it's difficult sometimes. Oh,
that's not bad. One time I was on the one radio,
yeah.
And actually promoting for Southern Fried, mm-hmm. And they asked me what a haiku was. And I got all the syllables wrong. I was like 14, 8. I don't write haikus.
Yeah.
Oh,
but yes, Progress Studios 1S on Instagram and Facebook under those. And whatever Kenyo's got going on, I get tagged in a lot of his media as well. So that's how people can find me. And also at the school I work at, which I would say, but that location is also
very private.
Very private.
Well, if you're a middle schooler, maybe you go there.
Yes.
Stay in school.
It's true.
Yeah.
Stay in school and learn something.
Yes. And don't be so loud in her class, man.
Shut up.
Maybe come up there.
Yes.
No.
Get the drill sergeant on you.
Up here.
You just want me to spell it wrong.
I'm waiting. Oh my God.
What's up, guys? It's Kenyo. You can find me at KenyoHQ on all stuff. And you can find the podcast at #GoalsXO on Instagram and then on iTunes, Spotify, everything.
Everybody's looking at me.
I'm
now.
Waiting.
Okay, guys. You can find me at my house, but y'all don't know where I live. Y'all can find me on Instagram. It's GANNYVIC, Danny Vic.
Boom. Boom. Knocked it out.
It seems like
about it really hard.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like all the Indian.
5 minutes of preparation. I'm joking.
Okay,
no more shit.
I'll follow. All right. So Danny Vic on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and then Danielle Victoria on Facebook.
Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks, Amina.
Thank you, Amina.
Thank you for having me.
This was really cool. This is going to go up super soon. You guys didn't need to know that, though, because you're listening to it. All right, bye, guys. Thanks for listening. We hope that we touched you super well.
On some type of goal. Thank you for listening to the #GoalsPodcast hosted by me and Kenyo. If you have questions or you want a goal to be, addressed, make sure you hit us on our Instagrams, Facebooks, and Twitters.
See ya.